Wolves Den, can you hear me? Wolves Den? He asked a good question. I asked him, what is the gospel of your salvation? And he replied, where is that in the Bible? But I didn't want to post that verse at the same time the lesson was going on to avoid, you know, confusion. But I'll show you where that verse is. In whom ye also trusted. You're welcome, Mike. Thank you. After that ye heard the word of truth. Well, he was teaching a lesson. He was teaching a lesson. He most definitely can answer this question. And all questions, actually. And if he doesn't know, he'll get back. But if you want to show me for sure. Yeah, it's right here. In whom ye also trusted. After that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. There is a gospel of our salvation. Yeah, I can answer most of them. And if I can't answer something, I don't try to pretend that I can and lie and just, you know, if I can't answer a question, I'll bow down and somebody else certainly will answer it. I do not have all the answers. I'm still learning myself, Wolves Den, and we all of us are at different levels of where we are. Some are many years in and study hard, like the teacher in this room. Okay, it's a gospel of our salvation, by the way, as Paul said. And just make note of these verses. Now, we've all come short of God's glory, right? Because all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we all need a Savior. Now, what are we to believe and trust according to that verse, Ephesians 1:13? The gospel of our salvation. The gospel of our salvation is a free gift. There's nothing you can do. Into Chronicles. Okay. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. So, look, by grace we're saved. You hear that, Wolves Den? Not of yourselves. And it's a gift of God. Now, this is the gospel here. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, what is the gospel of our Savior? It's the gospel of Christ. Yeah, and this is a great verse. It's the power of God unto salvation. And that gospel of Christ is found in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. It's all about what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross. You see that? By which you're saved. The gospel in verse 1. You receive it. You're standing in it. You're saved. Okay? And the content of that gospel is all about what Jesus Christ did for us. God manifest in the flesh, came to earth and died for our sins. For I have delivered unto you first of all, which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Welcome and happy. And that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Wolves Den. That's how a person is saved. Well, amen. Amen. A lot of people kick and yell with that one when you present it to them. It's all about the Lord. Amen, Trevor. It's all about what the Lord did for us on the cross. He died for our sins. We put our trust in him. And what he did for us. All of our sins are forgiven. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit of a promise till the day of redemption. This is what gets people angry. I'm going to go up to say something. And once we're saved, we're sealed, and we cannot lose the free gift of salvation. There's nothing you can do to get yourself out of salvation with God once you're saved. Why? Because it's not of ourselves. It's not anything you did to get that free gift. And there is absolutely nothing you can do to affect that free gift that God has already given to you. And your righteousness comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, His righteousness, imputed onto us. We get that because we trust Christ and Him crucified for our sins. That simple. We work from a position of victory. We're victorious already. That's why we do and we study. We're not concerned about trying to keep our salvation, which we did, can do nothing to earn it, so we could put our time into God's Word and grow as saints. You see, a lot of people out there, they're just trying to work their way to heaven. They have no time even to study God's Word, or nor do they make the time. Most of the time, they're just babbling. They can go on and on in vain imaginations and make up all kinds of stuff to avoid studying God's Word. I believe a lot of them will miss that wolf's den, that it's that simplicity of the gospel of Christ, because they'll look elsewhere in the Bible and blend law with grace. And that will be to their destruction. Because today, how God is saving people is through His finished cross work that Jesus Christ did for us on our behalf. He died for all of our sins. No, he God won't undo it. He abided faithful. He cannot deny Himself. He would have to deny Himself. You see, there's a place where Israel need to abide. And if they don't abide, you know, they get cut off. But in today, the way God's rolling today, He abides faithful. He cannot deny Himself. And we are part of His spiritual body. Ephesians 5:30, I believe. We're members of His body. Look at this. Of His flesh and of His bones. Now, you know, it's not literal, and it's a spiritual sense, okay? But even though, you know, the people that say that He would have to spiritually remove that, and that's not going to happen. You know, He'd have to reverse a lot of things, eh, Mike? There'd have to be a lot of things that would have to go into reverse, and it's not going to happen. There's no proof of it. You know, you'd have to reverse this. Oh yeah, wolves then. This is great stuff. It's great news, not just stuff. That's a bad choice for you. Okay? This is great news. This is God's Word. For us. Our promises that are for us. Even though this life can be hard on each one of us, and some point or another, we can only go through our ups and downs and stuff. We have a home, 2 Corinthians, an earthly house, not made. I'm going to mess this one up. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Eternal in the heavens. That's our home, wolves then. We're heaven bound. We're waiting, as our Apostle Paul says, for the catching up of the saints. We're waiting for the Lord to catch up, and we get a spiritual body, because right now the Bible says that we have vile bodies. And you show that to people, they say, my body's not vile. Well, the Bible says we're vile bodies. We have vile bodies. We need to have a spiritual body, and we'll receive one, and we'll be with the Lord. In God's sight, yeah. In God's sight, it's a vile body. And we're going to be with, we're going up, wolves then. Now, a lot of people, I don't know if you heard this word. I know it's not a biblical word, but it does describe what's going to happen to the church, the body of Christ. Rapture. Have you heard that word rapture? Because you did say you were new. You've heard it? Okay. Now, it's not a biblical word, but what it means is biblical. We're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. That's the next major event that's going to happen. We go up first. It's not the second coming. People don't understand that, because they do not understand the distinct ministry. Yeah? You're getting some nuggets here, and I encourage you to come back, Wolfson. They fail to recognize the ministry, the distinct ministry of our Apostle Paul. We do not elevate Paul to deity. We just recognize what God gave Paul. And it's encouraging for us to know that God loved us so much that he gave us our own apostle. Paul is called the apostle to the Gentiles. Peter is not given that title, Wolfstein. No matter how much they try to give Peter that title, it's not there. And they use a couple of instances where, well, one in particular, where he has to go to Cornelius. But that could all be explained why he went to Cornelius, and that's a you could probably do a good study just on that. I couldn't explain it well enough as a teacher would do, and there's people that are capable of that. So I'm skimming the surface here, and here comes a teacher, by the way, and his hand was up and it dropped. There it is. So Wolfsdam, welcome to the room. Yeah, I speak to you Gentiles as much as I'm the apostle. He magnifies his office. That's right. He doesn't magnify himself. He's magnifying his office that was given to him by the Lord. So Wolfson, welcome. Please hang out a little bit and listen. And I'm glad you wandered in here. And please take in consideration everything that is said that you heard, and check it out for yourself in the King James Bible. Open mic.
Sound check, test one, test two. I've seen you before, Wolfsden, in either this room or other rooms that we gather in. So welcome in. Just a little introduction, just so you know that what most of the people that are in this room right now, I'm just looking at the room list, yeah, just about all of us, we're different than what you're going to, hear in the other rooms in the Christian section of Pal Talk. Well, I take that back. We're not just a little bit different. We're a lot different. What makes us different? We believe that there is more than one gospel or good news or promise of salvation that's written in the Bible. Let me back up a little bit. First of all, our final authority is the Bible. We believe that, at least I believe, I'm not going to speak for everybody, but religion is a bad word. Every time I find the word religion in my King James Bible, I see it in a negative context. So first, get yourself a King James Bible. I think most of us here believe that the King James Bible is God's perfectly preserved words in the English language for English-speaking people. Good, good. So religion, what is religion? Why do I say religion is a bad thing? Because, and this is what sets us apart, this is what makes us different. Religion, by definition, is what mankind, humanity, either as an individual or as groups, do what they do in order to somehow gain favor with God. Do you follow me? Like an example of religion would be the ancient Aztecs used to sacrifice virgins to the sun god in order to get good crops. You know what I mean? That's an example of religion. By definition, religion is what humanity does to in some way gain favor with whatever God they're worshiping. And you can find that in the Bible. Okay? Well, don't get hung up on the King James Bible. We've moved on from that. So what makes us different? We don't believe what we are a minority. Let me put it that way. I don't know if you're a person that's seeking a majority point of view or not. Or if you're the type of person that thinks that the bigger the crowd, they must be right. But I've noticed a biblical trend that true believers throughout the Bible, wherever we find them, have always been a very, very precious few. So I take solace in the fact that that's a biblical trend. We are a minority in what we believe, is what I'm trying to tell you. Most people don't like what we teach. Most people, I know I'm saying everything wrong, right? I'm saying everything to tell you that this is not the right place to be. But I'm just being honest with you. And I actually think all the things that I'm saying should appeal to you. We have a final authority. It's called the King James Bible. Not a denomination, not a religion, not a doctrine of man. We believe the Bible, and we see differences in the Bible. That's what sets us apart. So going back to there's more than one promise of salvation in the Bible. But there's only one promise of salvation that'll save anybody today. And let's cover that one first. Let me open my Bible posting program here. And it's called the Gospel of Christ. And I'll try to be quick here, Mike, because I know you're on a time limit. It has a name. And I would encourage you to read the verses on the screen and maybe write them down and open your King James Bible. When you get up in the morning and you have a fresh cup of coffee and, you know, the morning sunlight shining in and you're very alert and, well, okay, unless you're not a morning person. But open it and read it in context. And by that I mean read what came before, read what comes after. Because I don't want you to think that I'm just pulling verses out of thin air and throwing them up at you. And trying to make a point here. It's what I'm doing, but I'm doing it for brevity's sake. Okay? So you want to open your own Bible. You want to see it with your own eyes as using Bible language. You want to be persuaded in your own mind. That's Bible talk. So it's called the Gospel or Good News of Christ. And it, the Gospel of Christ, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So there's the name of it, the name of the King of the gospel that saves today. Now, what's the message? And I'm sure you've been in our rooms. We probably read these verses more than any other verses that we read in our Bible. Here's the message of the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation. The one gospel that'll save anybody on planet Earth today. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. In verse 1, you see the words, the gospel. In verse 2, by which also you are saved. So if you connect the dots back up there to Romans 1:16, we know it's the gospel of Christ, the power of God unto salvation that the writer here, the Apostle Paul, is writing about. He's writing about the gospel of Christ, the gospel by which also you are saved. Verse 3, it tells us this is the message. Verses 3 and 4 is the message. And I'll spoil it for you. Spoiler alert. It's about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. He was both fully God, the Son of God, and he was fully man at the same time, the Son of Man. Jesus of Nazareth was both fully God and fully man at the same time. That's because his father was God and his mother was Mary, a human being. So he's the Son of God. But he was God manifest in the flesh. He had a fleshly body. He had a human body. The Bible says he was made a little lower than the angels. That doesn't mean that the angels are superior to mankind. It means that he was made a little lower than the angels because the angels can't die. And so the gospel of salvation for today is that Christ died for our sins. It's just not the fact that he died on the cross. It's the why of his death on the cross. He died for our sins. And then verse 4, and that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And I'm going to turn over to Romans 4 and just jump in for brevity's sake. The reason for his resurrection. Jesus Christ was delivered for our offenses and raised again, that means resurrected, for our justification. So there it is, just in a nutshell. The gospel of salvation that will save anybody on planet Earth today is called the gospel of Christ. The message contained in that good news is that Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, died on the cross. Why? For our sins. He was buried, and God the Father resurrected him from the grave, from hell, for our justification. Now, what does justification mean? It means to be counted righteous. Write them down and like I said, and read them when you're feeling fresh. I don't know whether you drink coffee or tea or whatever. Here's another one. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. And verses, in this chapter 5, it's got 21 verses. And verses 14 through 21, each on its own contains a wonderful nugget of knowledge. But when you put all 7 or 8 of those verses together, it really says a lot. But it ends with this verse right here. For he, that's a reference to God the Father, hath made him, that's a reference to Jesus Christ, God the Father made him to be sin for us. God made him to be sin for us. Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, he never sinned a day in his life, he didn't deserve to die. Why did he do that? That we, those who trust in him, trust in his work on the cross, trust the fact that he died for our sins, that we, those who trust in him, might be made the righteousness of God in him. So we're made righteous in the eyes of God when we trust this good news or gospel of Christ. So it's not about us. You remember I was talking about religion is what mankind does to gain favor with God? We're just the opposite. We're all about what God has done for us. That's a big deal, isn't it? It's not about what we do. It's not about us. It's not about what we don't do. Thou shalt not. Now, religion doesn't want to hear this, but the Bible says it. God made him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And that's how God sees us. That's called a positional truth. Just like justified, justification. That's a position that God puts us in. Are we righteous after we get saved, after we trust this gospel? In the eyes of God, we are, no matter what. Well, this is, I'm talking about what he's saying to us today. God has said different things to different people throughout human history. Right now, we're talking about what God is saying to us today. You see, in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, that's not about us. We won't be here. Even saved people or lost people that are living today won't be there. That's not us. But it's profitable for us to know. Somebody put the scripture on the screen, 2 Timothy 3:16, that all scripture is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for instruction in righteousness. I forgot one of them in there. But I'm talking about the one gospel that will save today, right? Correction, that's it. That's the one I forgot. So, again, religion, people in the Christian section of Pal Talk, people in the real world, I walk into a Baptist church, I walk into a Methodist church, a Lutheran church or whatever, you're not going to hear this in there. They're going to lay a guilt trip on you. They're going to want to make you feel guilty. And then they're going to want to make it about you. You need to clean up your act. You need to do this. You need to do that. Why? In order to gain favor with God. We're not about that. The doctrine for today, we're living in what's called the dispensation of the grace of God. Have you heard of the dispensation of the grace of God? See, God isn't angry with anyone today. God's desire, God's will for everybody today, not to say that everybody will be saved, but it's God's will for everybody today to be saved. Well, dispensation, let me finish this, but that's a great question. It's a Bible word. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved, comma, and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So, not all people will be saved. That's not what I'm saying. Don't take it that way. We have free will today. Some will hear the gospel and reject it. Some will hear it. See, it's a gift. Christ died for our sins. It's a gift. And I'm not going to forget about that dispensation question. But let me go back and start a little earlier in this, where we could have started earlier. So let me give you some bad news first. You know, gospel means good news. Here's some bad news. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What's the definition of sin? Well, there's three Bible definitions of sin, and one of them is all unrighteousness is sin. And we're born that way. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 reads, wherefore as by one man, that's Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We were all sinners because we're born that way. Let me see, there's an old saying, see if I can get it right this time. We're not sinners because we commit sins. On the contrary, we commit sins because we're sinners. Does that make sense? All of us sin. All of us are born unrighteous in the eyes of God. And even a little baby, I'm sure you've been around, you know, at a certain age, you know, they can turn into little devils, right? All of them do. at one time or another, right? And it's not something that they're learned. They're born that way. So anyway, that's the bad news. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Here's some more bad news. The wages of that sin is death. The penalty of that sin is death. But here's a little hint at the good news. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So here's that question. What is that gift? What is the gift of God that results in eternal life? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages or penalty of sin is death. But, remember we read it earlier? Christ died for our sins. God made him to be sin for us. It's a done deal. He already did it, whether we believe it or not. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You're hearing the word of God right now. Yes, we're putting specific verses on the screen, and a lot of people don't like that. But again, that's for brevity's sake. I already recommend that you write these verses down or save the room text as an RTF, and then you'll have them, and you can open your own Bible on your own and read what came before and after, so you know I'm not just pulling it out of thin air. I would prefer to let my final authority, the King James Bible, do all the talking for me. So the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is the Son of God, Christ manifest in, God manifest in the flesh, died for our sins, and that's the gift. That's the gift that's being offered. And where should I go? The formula, for lack of a better word, it's not a process, but the formula or recipe for salvation today is in this verse right here. And I'll put the next verse up on the screen to show you a little bit more. Ephesians 1:13 says, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Now, Wolf's Den and everybody else in the room, y'all just heard the gospel of your salvation. What is it? Christ died for your sins. He was buried, and God the Father resurrected him for your justification. Justification, to be accounted righteous in the eyes of God. To be made righteous. You hear it, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, that means down payment, of our inheritance. What is our inheritance? We're going to heaven until the redemption of the purchased possession. What's the redemption of the purchased possession? Our bodies, our souls, our spirit. We're going to heaven. That's the redemption of the we're purchased with a price, is the Bible language. Unto the praise and with that Holy Spirit of promise. Okay? So that's the formula. You hear the gospel, and hearing, right, like I put the verse on the screen earlier, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You've heard the word of God. And that word, and hearing brings it the idea that you comprehend what you hear. You know, there are people that are too young that when you say this to them, like a two-year-old's not going to understand this. So a person needs to comprehend this. And, of course, there's people with mental disabilities and things like that. So you hear the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. You understand it. You understand that Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. You understand that he went to the cross and he died for our sins. And you understand that he was resurrected for our justification. And you believe all that. But here's the key. Here's the key. The key is trust. Let me put the verse back on the screen. In whom ye also trusted. In whom ye also trusted. Trust. That's a big deal. Trust is requires a person to let go. See, our human ego wants us to be like religion wants us to be. That's why religion is so appealing to so many people. It's what did you do? What did you do to get to heaven? What did you stop doing to get to heaven? You got to let go of your ego. You got to let go and stop trying to save yourself and just trust that everything that's already needed to be done has been done. Over 2,000 years before we were born. Well, over 1,900 years before anybody on planet Earth was born today, Jesus Christ died for their sins. Died for my sins, died for Ed's sins, Mike's sins, Grandpa G's sins, Laura's sins. Died for Wolfskin, died for your sins. That's the free gift. Accept that. Trust it. Quit trying to save yourself and trust that everything that's needed to be done has been done. And that's the gospel of the salvation today. And before we talk about the Bible word dispensation, are there any questions? Christ died for our sins. He was buried, and God raised him from the dead. And the Bible's clear on that. And this doctrine is not found throughout the Bible. Like I said, there's more than one promise of salvation in the Bible. And that's why this is called dispensation. Dispensation. That's a Bible word. Okay? You got to go, Mike, let me know, and I'll stop. Okay, so the word dispensation, it's a Bible word. And to illustrate, I'm going to use a personal example. I'm an old retired guy. I retired from the Air Force more years ago than I was in the Air Force. So I have retired military medical benefits. And so I go to a local Coast Guard station to get my medications. Okay? And I go to my doctor first, and she, the doctors nowadays, they like to do everything over the internet, so she looks at me funny when I ask you to do it. I still need the old school way. I need you to write out the prescription on a piece of paper. And so she does that. She writes my medications down on a prescription, and I go to the Coast Guard station, and I drive up. I'm putting a visual aid. And I park in front of a building that's got this sign in front of it. And it's called a dispensary on the Coast Guard station. You know, out there in California and all those other states that where they have medical marijuana, they're called dispensaries, right? It's a pharmacy. So I go in and I take my written prescriptions into the dispensary. And I hand them to the pharmacist, and she goes back. I sit down, and I wait for a little while, and then she calls my name, and she hands my medications across the counter. She has now dispensed my medication to me. You following me, Wolfsden? Okay, so there's been a dispensation of my medication. And along with my medication, to hand out, to dispense. I don't know if you have any prescriptions or anything, or how old you are or anything like that, but usually when you have a drug or a medication, it comes with a list, you know, of side effects, how to take the medication, how not to take the medication, you know, the side effects of the medication, things to do and not do. Don't drive after taking this medication. Don't make a post in Facebook after taking this medication. Don't go on the microphone and pal talk and talk after taking this medication. You know, things like that. You know what I'm talking about. So your medication, a list of instructions and all the side effects, you know. You could get dizzy, or you could, all kinds of different side effects for different medications. And the list is long. Sometimes it's fine print. So there's doctrine that is dispensed along with the medication, right? Yes, that's exactly a good way to put it, Ed. Okay, so that's what the word dispensation means. And so Paul writes here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, let me do a quick quiz. What is the gospel, what's the name of the gospel that saves today? It has a name. What's the name? What's the name of the gospel that saves today? It's called the gospel of Christ. So here's Paul is writing here. There you go, Ed. And he says, for if I do this thing willingly, and he's talking about preaching, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. So there's that Bible word. A dispensation of the gospel was committed to Paul. And then in the next verse, we get the name of that gospel that was dispensed and committed to Paul. See there? Verse 18, the gospel of Christ. Remember? Romans 1:16, the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. What's the content of that message? What verse did I want to go to? Content of that message is, it's the preaching of the cross, right? For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are, present tense, saved, it is the power of God. What about the cross? Present tense salvation. What about the preaching of the cross? Christ died for our sins. See how simple it is? No works involved. You don't have to, you know, get water baptized. You don't have to confess. You don't have to say a sinner's prayer. You don't have to walk the aisle. You don't have to convert, go through the catechisms of Roman Catholicism. You don't have to do any of those things. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace, remember we're living in the dispensation of the grace of God, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, full of salvation. Well, you go up to the top of the room, I don't know what version of Pal Talk you're using, but if you go to, click on File, and then save room session, and save as RTF, top of the room, File, save room session, and then click save as RTF. It'll put it into a file format that you can open in Microsoft Word, Microsoft Notes, whatever, or any word processing program. Oh, you know how to do that. Okay. So that'll be the verses. But we covered the most important thing. Hey, Clarence, good to see you. That is the gospel, the one gospel that saves today. Christ died for our sins. Now, there are other promises of salvation in the Bible that do involve works. That's why I say we are living in the dispensation of the grace of God. Right now, God is dispensing grace. In the book of Revelation, he's going to be dispensing wrath, right, in the future. Okay? Let me give you maybe another link to a visual aid, if you don't mind. And then I'll shut up. This is what we're talking about is dispensationalism. It's people have given a name to what we believe. And they call it a theology. They call it that. I don't call it that, but for lack of, hold on, let me find this link first. I can't do two things here. Okay. I don't have a hat on, I realize. So I can't put a link in the room. Who's got a hat on? Mike, you with us? Can you put this link in the room for me? I just sent you a PM. Wow, something new. I'm going to close the window and it asked me if I'm sure I want to close it. That must be the new Pal Talk. Okay, so that link that I just gave you, Mike usually opens Monday through Friday, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Okay. Now, that link that Mike just put into the room, if you follow links, I understand if you don't want to, it's a visual aid. It's from a Bible teacher named Les Feldick. And the very first graphic there is titled The Time We See Today in what's called, he calls the Church Age, the Dispensation of the Grace of God. And it's basically a timeline. You know, we as human beings, we see things in a linear fashion, linear time. You know, this happened, then that happened, then this happened, and then this is going to happen. This is happening now, you know. And it's got on the far left, Adam and Eve. This is a very, there's some of these charts that are really complicated. I gave you this because it's real simple. And it's just got some highlights of biblical history. Adam recreated, you know, and then there was the flood. And then there was something called the Tower of Babel. And then a big event, Abraham. God called one person out, and then Moses was given the law, and King David, and then the nation of Israel went out into captivity to Babylon, and there was Nebuchadnezzar was a king, and then we see the cross of Christ, and then he's ascended up into heaven, and then we see the grace age right there, Paul's revelation of the mysteries. That's the time that we're living in today, right there. All that other stuff is time past. The age in which we're living today, the dispensation of the grace of God, will end. It's called the rapture of the church, the body of Christ. I don't know if you've ever heard that term, rapture. But we're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. We're going to be taken out of here. Right now, God's prophecy program for the nation of Israel is on hold. it's not happening today in the dispensation of the grace of God. So the church will be caught up to meet the Lord. We go to heaven. We fulfill God's purpose. Okay? God's heavenly purpose. And then after that is the 7 years of tribulation. That's what the book of Revelation is all about. It's also what Daniel chapter 9 is all about. Daniel chapter 9, Matthew chapter 24, the book of Revelation. They all line up perfectly. They all say the same thing all throughout time. And so that 7 years of tribulation, and then Jesus Christ comes again. We're not going to be here. We're going to be in heaven. Right? And so Jesus comes back and he sets up what's called a millennial reign of Jesus Christ, 1,000 years, the kingdom of heaven on earth. And then some other events happen that are written about in the book of Revelation. And then eternity. There's a new heaven and a new earth. So just to explain this dispensationalism, and I know you already got information overload, so you can just relax. Just, what I'm telling you right now is just maybe a clarification. It's okay if you don't get it. I was really wanted to focus on the gospel that saves today, because that's the most important thing. Wolf's Den, for me or anybody else, the most important question that anybody could ever ask you is, are you saved? And hopefully you can be able to say, why, yes, I am. Thank you for asking. I'm saved because Christ died for my sins. He was buried and was resurrected for my justification. And I see Laura's hand open up, so I'm going to release the microphone to Laura. Open mic.
Testing, 1, 2. Can someone hear me? Awesome. Okay. Going back to, you can't lose your salvation. My family believes, I don't believe it, but they believe that you can lose your salvation, but there's only one way to do it. And that's if after you believe, then you deny Jesus Christ. And so I'm just hoping to get some more clarification on that. And another thing I had that I don't understand is I grew up believing and trusting in Jesus, and that's all you have to do to be saved. But I was told that you have to be lost to be saved. I mean, was I saved from a little bitty child and just didn't know it? Or, I mean, can someone explain that to me also? Thanks. Open mic.
Mike, if you want to jump in. It's really the same answer, Laura. It's the gospel. It's a clear understanding of the gospel of salvation today. Remember the formula? We hear the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation. We understand it. We believe it. And we trust it. So as a little child, you know. Now, I want to interject here before, you know, there's aborted babies, there's children that have died before the age of understandability, and there's people that have mental... God does not send babies to hell. God is just. That's a whole different topic. But the thing is, I want to impress upon people that a lot of people hear this gospel. A lot of people understand this good news. Christ died for your sins, was buried, and God the Father resurrected him for our justification so that we might be made righteous in his eyes. A lot of people hear it. A lot of people believe it. But do they trust it? That's the question. Let go. Stop trying and just trust it. And then in that split second of trust, I don't know, there's at least, you know, I'll tell you what's going to happen to him in a minute, okay, Wolfsden? He's going to be in the new heaven and the new earth. He's going to be there. God is just. So where was I? I was with answering Laura's question. Part one of your question about the eternal security of the believer, once sealed, always saved. Again, it comes back to a clear understanding of the salvation message. It's not about us, right? Our salvation is not dependent upon what we do or don't do, right? So what would make a person so arrogant, and I use that word purposely, so focused upon the flesh, on themselves, so arrogant as to think that there's something that they could do or not do to lose their salvation? There is no salvation maintenance program. One of the things that happens in that split second of trust is the Holy Spirit puts a seal on us. It's like canning vegetables or canning preserves, and they put it in those jars, and that seal, it pops, right? And no matter what, the only person that can break that seal is the Holy Spirit. Remember Ephesians 1, 13 and 14? Ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. We can't lose it. There's nothing we can do. Now, here's what happens to most people that are saved, I believe. They hear the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation. They believe it, they trust it, and they're saved. Boom, sealed. But waiting in the wings, there's a Catholic priest. There's a Baptist deacon, you know, standing back there. Oh, okay. There's a Pentecost preacher, right? And they latch on to that newly saved individual, and they start filling that person's head with all kinds of religious nonsense, right? The Pentecostal preacher's going to say, now you got to get water baptized, and you got to speak with tongues as evidence of the Holy Ghost. You know, some of those hillbillies up in Tennessee and Alabama, they handle the snakes and things like that, right? Religious nonsense. Yes, some of it is in the Bible, but that's not our doctrine. We live in the dispensation of the grace of God. God is not angry with anyone. That's called mixed up doctrine. People take doctrine that's written for other people at other times and try to apply it to us. So, Laura, it always comes back to the gospel in answer to your questions, plural. What are you trusting for your salvation? If it's not about you to get saved in the first place, then it's not about you to lose your, you know, you can't do anything to gain it, can't do anything to lose it, right? And the thing about, you know, I guess Catholics sprinkle babies when they're a certain age, right? To baptize them, water baptism. Now, the word baptism, it doesn't mean water. Most people, when they hear the word baptism in any of its forms, they think about water, you know, water baptism, getting dunked in the river, you know. And they think that's, a lot of people think that's what saves them. Anybody remember that old movie, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? right around 2000. Who's it, what's his name? Famous actor in it. Let's see. My youngest daughter used to believe and trust him. Yeah, simply believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's what Mike was talking about earlier. Yeah, George Clooney. I'll come back to that. Thanks, Cyrus. See, the gospel of God is what Mike was talking about during his lesson. Okay? That is who Jesus Christ is. That's in Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. This is who Jesus Christ is. I'm going to put the verse 2 on the screen, but that's in parentheses. So I'm going to read it without the parentheses, okay, if that's okay with you. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. There it is, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That tells us who Jesus Christ. The fact that he's the Son of God makes it important to know that it was the Son of God that died for us. So Paul had to preach that first. Today it's important, for example, when you're dealing with a, who are they, the Jehovah's Witnesses. They don't believe that Jesus Christ is God. They believe he's just a prophet. The Muslim, so when you talk to a Muslim, believes that Jesus Christ is not God. He's not the Son of God. Just like that, I don't believe that the God they worship, Allah, is a God, is the same God. You know, a lot of people out there say that the God of the Jews, the God of the Christians, and the God of the Muslims is all the same God. We all worship the same God. That's not true. The God of the Muslims and the God of the Jews that they worship today is not the Father of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So anyway, what I'm saying is the fact that who Jesus Christ is important to the fact that he's the one that died. And wouldn't make much good if Delta Hotel died for your sins, now would it? But what makes it important is the Son of God died for your sins. So that's two different gospels. The God, and then how many verses later here? And then in verse 16, I'll start at verse 15, Paul writes, so as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's a different message. It's the why of the cross. Why did Jesus Christ die? Why was he resurrected? Not who he is. So you see, there's two different gospels in Romans chapter 1 already. And then verse 17. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. For therein what? Therein the gospel of God, Christ, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Hi, Andrea. Welcome in. And I didn't say hello to Angel at his feet soon enough. Okay, Mike, open mic.
Well, I am going to have to close soon here. Let's see. No, but she used to until we had a bad experience with a picture. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Usually people that are saved and that get disillusioned somehow, they'll drop out because of they're told that they're given that part in John in the Upper Room Discourse, I think it is, where he promised the 12 apostles that if they pray anything in his name, he will do it. And so the person thinks that he's the he in that verse, that, you know, that I'm the one that is told that I can ask for what I want and I'll get it. And, you know, that's not what the verse says. They're given, that's right, it's the wrong mail. It's to somebody, it was to those 12 apostles for the bringing in of the kingdom. And in Acts 7, the kingdom was postponed because Israel fell and no longer was God's unique way of working with mankind. They can still receive the gospel that we can receive, but, you know, you have to try and convince a Jew that Jesus is the Messiah and that he rose from the dead. And, you know, that's what they're against ever since Stephen's stoning, since before that, since they opposed Christ face to face. But I did want to, before I close, I wanted to bring up a verse. When someone receives Christ as their Savior, and the word is used twice there, it's a receiving thing. It's an individual, it's not believing that Christ died for the world's sins. Or there's one guy that used to be a grace teacher that says Christ died for sins. That's not it. It says Christ died for our sins, and it says to receive it. That's something you do yourself. It's not a work, but it's an act of faith. In other words, Christ died for my sins. If I believe that, I'll rest in it rather than figure, well, I'd better, you know, get some insurance. I'll go and get baptized as insurance, just in case. In other words, you're saying, I don't fully trust that Christ died for all my sins and that was sufficient to save me from the condemnation of them. It is sufficient. Rest fully in that Christ died for your sins. That takes care of the justifying and forgiving, and but the part about, you know, I'm still dead. Christ died for our sins and was buried. He was dead and rose again. And if you read Romans 6, the first, I don't know, 6 or 8 verses, Romans 6 talks about us rising with him. That's our life, too. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Receive it. Receive it. And I wanted to post this verse. People that receive Christ as their Savior are saved. Now, Paul is talking to Timothy here about how he can lead some people that are depending on him to help them in their spiritual life. And so he's talking to people that are saved, that have received Christ as their Savior. And he says, if we believe not, in other words, if those believers that are saved stop believing for some reason, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. He's not going to amputate part of his body. There's nothing about that in the Bible. So you can rely on that. There, that's what's the word? Complementary with or supplement? It goes along with a lot of other verses that say similar things. And if you notice, all the places that look like they're saying a person can lose their salvation, they're all to Israel. Yeah, Israel had to endure to the end. You can make a long list of places where Israel is told in Matthew 10, Matthew 24, they're told that they have to endure to the end. Hebrews 6, Hebrews 3, Hebrews 10 all have passages in them about Israel having to endure to the end. Revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ, the last book of the Bible, has several places it talks about he that overcomes. That's what it's talking about, overcoming. James was written to Israel. Israel had to show their faith by their works. We don't. If we try and get saved by being good enough, we're saying, I don't trust the blood of Christ to have died for my sins. I don't trust the gospel. We do trust it. That's how we got saved. And if we then lose our confidence, we're still his. You know, it's like saying, I don't know what it's like saying, but it's one of those things that's hard for us to understand as humans, how we can still be his when we changed our mind. We chose him to begin with, and he holds on to us, and he makes us part of himself. Not that we're creator or anything, but we have the righteousness of God, and we have Christ in us, the hope of glory. Great positional promises. So just, God is just, he will keep all his promises to Israel, right? He won't keep his promises that he made to Israel with us, keep them with us. No, that would be dishonest. That would be not keeping them. It's actually very simple to prove, and he still doesn't have. Okay, I'm going to close with a song. Oh, I see a hand. Come on up briefly if you can, and then we'll close with a song. Come on up, Delta.
Well, actually, I was going to ask if I could play Jim Old Boy's Who Are You in closing here, if I can find it. Give me a second. Should have been prepared. I thought you were going to talk a little bit longer. That it's right here. So anyways, I can still be heard. This is a little 2 minute and 46 second presentation. It's a list of all those things that happened to you, happens to a person in that split second. Whether we realize it or not, all these things happen to someone when they trust in Christ. When they trust that Christ has already
done
it all. They trust that they don't have to do anything. They don't have to say anything. They don't have to go anywhere. All they got to do is trust that it's already been done. And then by the operation of God, there's over 70 things in this 2 minute and 46 seconds. So you've got to listen close. And there's a Bible verse for each and every one of these. And this is saved people in the dispensation of the grace of God. All this happens in the split second that we trust. Before that Catholic priest, that Pentecostal preacher or that Baptist deacon gets a hold of you, all this stuff takes place by the operation of God in that split second of trust. So here we go. And you might have to turn your sound up. I'll turn it up here.
Who are you? As a saved individual who's trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, who are you in Christ? Well, Christ is in you, the hope of glory. You are crucified with Christ, buried with Christ, risen with Christ, alive with Christ, ascended and seated with Christ. You're a joint heir with Christ. You're indwelt by the Father, indwelt by the Son, indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You're a saint and beloved of God, you're dead to sin, you're under grace, you have eternal life, you're free from condemnation, you're a son of God, you were foreknown of God and predestinated, called, justified, and glorified, free from sin, you're more than a conqueror, you're in fellowship with God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, you, as a believer, are the temple of God, you're washed and sanctified, a member of His body, you're victorious, you're triumphant, you're a new creature, reconciled, an ambassador of Christ. You have the righteousness of God, you're rich, you're redeemed from the curse of the law, you're adopted, free, and called unto liberty. You're blessed, you're chosen, holy, without blame, accepted in the Beloved. You're sealed unto the day of redemption. You're saved by grace with no works. You are His workmanship and a fellow citizen. You're delivered from the power of darkness. You've been translated into the kingdom of God's Son. You're complete and circumcised without hands. You're forgiven all trespasses. You're the elect of God. You've been delivered from the wrath to come. You're not appointed to wrath. You're saved. You have peace with God. You've now received the atonement. You have the mind of Christ. You have all spiritual blessings. You have obtained an inheritance. You have a hope laid up for you in heaven. You have a holy calling. You have all things. You shall be confirmed unto the end. Christ is your wisdom, your righteousness, your sanctification, and redemption. Christ is your victory. Christ is your peace. Christ is your hope. Christ is your completion. You are complete in Him.